Joining me now to review a little bit of his basketball season, he's the head boys basketball coach at Manson Northwest Webster. Coach Caleb Lubin joins the program. Coach, good to have you this morning.
Yeah, it's good to be on, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. Always good to visit with you. You have concluded your season. You fell in the playoffs to Kemper Catholic, 82-68. And when I saw the score, you know, Coach, the first thing that I told you via email was it looked like you played pretty well offensively, just couldn't get the stops you needed to get.
Yeah, we played a lot better offensively. We were much more balanced, kind of what we had been hoping to hit, that point we had hoped to hit during the season and not the last game of the season. We had four guys in double digits, all between 12 to 15 points, and when you can do that, you're going to have a chance. We just, you know, they made some plays, and there's a couple times where, you know, it's an eight-point game, and they hit a bank-in three to go into halftime up 11 instead of us hitting a shot to go in down six, and those point swings are huge in games like that. And
yeah,
we just had a couple plays didn't go our way, and they hit some shots and just couldn't get the stops we needed when we needed to.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. I think probably the biggest momentum swing in the game of basketball at the high school level especially is that shot right before the quarter break, right before the half, when it's one where it's a contested shot or a 35, 40 footer or something like that. It just seems to be a backbreaker. It's a hard thing to overcome.
Yeah, you know, going into, you know, we responded coming out of halftime, and we got the lead. They were leading 11. We got it back to one, midpoint of the third. We really played well in that third quarter. But, you know, if that's an eight-point game or a six-point game, we're in the lead at that point.
Yeah.
And we're not having to come back from double digits being down. So, yeah, you know, it, like you said, shots like that, you're just credit to them. You know, you hit a 35-foot bank in three-pointer. It's, you know, we were in position. We contested, and he just hit it.
I can only remember one instance in a game where I've seen the team that was on the back end of that actually win the game, and it happened to me when I was coaching. It happened twice in the same game, end of the first, end of the half. They hit two. They were up six at the half, and I went in, and the first thing I said was, nothing to worry about. The lead is because of two threes at, you know, 30-foot heaves.
Yep.
At the end of the quarters here. It's nothing to worry about. And we were able to come back and win the game late in that one. That first one where they hit on us was a quarter where I think we scored two in the first quarter. I mean, it was just the worst start you could have, but we were able to overcome it. But very seldom do you see teams that can kind of get over the hump when that happens. It's a big momentum shifter, and it's hard to regain. You and I both know that once in the game of basketball, momentum's a funny thing, and once it swings one way, it's really hard to get it back.
Yeah, and it's hard for teams, especially like us, who have a tendency to struggle with scoring. You know, we didn't have a problem scoring much in that game, but, you know, when you struggle at times to find buckets and go on 2-3 minute droughts where you don't have a bucket, it's those can be backbreakers.
Your offensive output, you talked about having trouble with that. Overall in the season, you scored 41 a game. I know that the offseason for you is going to be a lot of focus on, you know, developing players from an offensive standpoint so you can score more and kind of putting together a little bit, you know, even more of a system, I think, to let those guys kind of thrive a little bit.
Yeah, you know, for us, we got a good group of young kids and some juniors to go with that. So our big thing is towards the end of the year, we had kids start coming on strong shooting-wise. You know, Sean Peters really played better as a junior towards the end of the year, started shooting better. Reese Olson is a kid who I think averaged maybe 3 points a game beginning of the season until about the last three or four games. Then he went on a tangent, and, you know, the last game of the year, he was 5 of 6 from the three-point line. You know, just started shooting really well. And again, it's going to be building that confidence in those kids to step up and take shots and shoot the ball and really develop better shooting skills. But we also got to be able to get to the hoop. That was one of the things we struggled with this year at times, was being able to dribble drive so we can get those guys open for jump shots. And so, yeah, there's some skill development we got to work on this year during the off season, but we've already got a good jump start on that with the kids, so we'll see what happens. I'm excited.
You mentioned a couple of guys, Olson and Peters, there. You also will return Brody Poppin, who had a nice year for you, about 6.5 points a game. Shot the ball pretty well, I think about 38% from three. Got to expect that he's going to probably be kind of a focal point for your offense coming forward next year.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Brody was our leading scorer this year, and I told him in our postseason, he was close to almost a double-double a game the last seven or eight games because he was at about 9 rebounds, or he'd have 10 rebounds and 8 points, or 10 rebounds and 9 points. I mean, he was really close to giving us a double-double a game, which is huge as a sophomore to be able to do. And throughout the course of the season, he's built some stuff. You know, he was beginning the year just strictly a shooter, but, you know, he's identified some post moves that he likes. And, you know, the last game of the year, he had a step-back 15-foot baseline jumper. So he's got some stuff he's working on building into his repertoire, and I'm really excited for him. And like I said, we got a couple other sophomores to go with him and a couple freshmen coming up that, if they put in the time, can be big contributors for us.
Coach Caleb Lubin is my guest here on the Hy-Vee Fort Dodge Coach's Corner, Madison Northwest Webster boys basketball coach. Obviously, you know, looking at the season as a whole, Not the season that you wanted to have, a little disappointing in terms of win-loss record. And now, you know, coupled with last year where you had some struggles too, you know, what do you focus on now to put a better foot forward and to move forward and progress?
Yeah, you know, nobody wants to come into a season and lose a lot of games. That's you know that from coaching. That's never any fun. One of the biggest things that we talked about this year that I noticed with my assistant from the last 2 years into last year and then into this year, that we did not do a great job off-season-wise of work on our own. We bring kids in for open gym, but during the month of June, we get them maybe twice a week. So we get maybe 8 sessions with them in 4 weeks. And then, you know, baseball starts and tournaments start. And so we can get them in then, but schedules get busy. And by the end of July, early August, you're right into the stride of 2 days for football and football camps and all that. So kids just have a lot going on. So we got to try to maximize those opportunities. Another thing we've done is some of our kids, I don't know if they've ever really been through a basketball workout, like a structured workout. You know, we have the Mac Center where you can go and shoot. But one of the things we did at the end of the season, a couple days after that, we had an activity day at our school. So I brought them in the gym and showed them. Gave them a structure for a workout to really work on their skills and fundamentals. So we've given them the tools to be successful. Now it's a matter of we got to have that accountability amongst our teammates to make sure we get in and do those things.
Yeah.
So we've really tried to build some of those leadership things into our kids to really try and get a culture of hard work and accountability towards each other and family moving forward.
You know, it's a good point that you bring up, and I've learned more about it as I've been here now almost 2 years. Being a former coach, you know, I never had to deal with the summer where you guys have summer baseball, so you don't have access to players in the summer, whereas, you know, most of the time in most other places you have, you know, a summer program. It's usually sometime between late June and early August or whatever, and then you go into football a week or so after that or whatever it may be. But you July is always a big month most everywhere else in summer basketball development. And you play some summer games, you go to camps, things like that. But here, coaches have the added challenge of the summer baseball season. And at a school like Madison, where you know, your best players are also going to play football and they're also probably going to play baseball, that really adds another element to that challenge, I think.
Yeah, it does. And you got to be willing to work with the other coaches in the school. You know, I know the baseball coach and I have talked. I'm okay with him doing, you know, Sunday nights towards January and stuff. You know, they would have open gym for, you know, throwing and stuff, and I'm fine with him doing stuff then, and he's fine with me working on stuff during the summer. So, you know, there's got to be a little bit of a give and take there. You can't just dominate over one over the other there. But one of the things we've really tried to do, and it's hard with our younger kids, especially our eighth graders and the freshmen, because so many of them do driver's ed, but then the eighth graders are doing junior high baseball, and then you try to get them to do basketball. And when you're an eighth grader and don't have a ride anywhere because you don't have a vehicle, your parents got to get you places. Now it just adds another layer of, okay, now we got to work around the parent's schedule to try to get this kid. So we tried to do our open gyms right after weights, but, you know, like I said, sometimes they got driver's ed in June, and then by the time we get into July when they're done with driver's ed and driving, you know, we're headed right into football season. So, you know, it's just, like I said, there's a little bit of give and take you got to have and you got to work together, and you're right, you know. Small school our size, kids do everything. You know, we got kids involved, and it seems like every week of the year they got some activity, whether it's athletics or speech or music or something like that that they're involved in. So we don't quite have the luxury some bigger schools might have where, hey, these, you know, this kid is a really good ball player in this sport, and, you know, he maybe only plays one other sport. Our kids play 2, 3, 4 sports.
Yeah, and that's something that I've noticed, too, in talking with the Fort Dodge coaches, you know, is something that they're at a disadvantage, too, because with them being, yeah, they're a 4A, but they're a very small 4A.
Yep.
So they're sharing a lot of the same athlete pool, too, whereas the Ankenys of the world and the Centennials of the world not really sharing guys that much, you know, so you have to work around that. So that would be an extra caveat for me, because my philosophy in the summer, my brother, who's a basketball coach down in South Carolina, has a saying, and he says there's two seasons, basketball season and summer basketball season.
Yep.
So, you know, that was kind of my focus. I think the last year that I coached, we had a reduced summer program, very reduced summer program that year, just because we're going through a transition phase at that time. And I actually didn't officially get the job, I don't think, until July, so it was hard to kind of do that. But with this, is a different set of circumstances. You'll move forward with this year and bring back several guys, but you'll lose a few seniors. Shout out your seniors a little bit here, and let's talk about them.
Yeah, we had some kids out this year for us senior-wise. You know, we had Carson Bauer was number 2. Connor Christensen was number 3 for us. Braden Joel was number 4, and Dayton was number 14. And, you know, I think about kids like Carson Bauer. You know, if he doesn't have a Tommy John surgery in July, you know, that was tough for him to come back and try to play. You know, he had that surgery, and it really kind of affected him this year. And he did some other nice things for us, but his ability to shoot from outside 18 feet kind of dwindled due to not being able to use his right arm that well. And that's it makes it hard, you know, when you're out there and someone does really good things for you, but, you know, can't quite, you know, shoot from that far, so not as quite as big of a threat shooting-wise. So, you know, we had some other kids that just things didn't quite bounce their way and shots didn't fall, and so it was a little harder.
Yeah, and you mentioned that. I mean, especially now when shooting is such a premium in the game now that you kind of have to have multiple spots on the floor, if not 5,
yep,
guys that can shoot the ball. And so that does make it difficult. And, you know, shout out to Bauer for coming back from that. And I know had a good football season, mm-hmm, you know, as a punter, yep, and All-State and all that deal. So shout out Carson Bauer for coming back from that surgery, because that's a major surgery. I mean, that's a surgery we see guys sometimes at the professional level, pitchers specifically,
yep,
in baseball, that have that surgery that sometimes are never the same.
No, you know, back when I was in high school in 2013, you did that, you didn't hear of anybody coming back within 6-7 months to play anything, you know. So, yeah, worked hard at it and took care of it the way he needed to try to get himself back for football and then for basketball.
You mentioned 2013 like it was a long time ago. And a lot of us are sitting here like, man, that wasn't but a few years ago, you know. That,
yeah.
Not a long time ago. You are one of the youngest coaches in this region. You know, I call you the young gun of Berrien coaches because that's the truth. And, you know, for folks that don't know, you know, you grew up, your dad was the longtime coach at Manson, Wade Wubin, now on the girls' staff over there with Brett Larson. And now you've kind of filled that role. Do you feel now after a couple of seasons with, you know, kind of struggling, you feel a little extra pressure being the son of a coach, being kind of a legacy in the Manson area to get it back on track? Is there extra pressure for you there?
I wouldn't say there's extra pressure necessary-wise just from that aspect. I mean, obviously, my goal is to come in and try to get things going in the right direction and turn things around. And, you know, being able to say that you were able to kind of get something going in the right direction that kind of struggled for a little while underneath you early is a big thing. You know, I think it'd be great to be able to do. And but, you know, if my identity was found in my coaching, yes, I would probably feel more pressure. But, you know, I know that my dad and I talk a lot. And, you know, I know that no matter what, you know, yeah, he's proud of me. And, you know, it's not – if I built everything in my life off of coaching, it'd be really tough right now. But I have my identity in other things and who I am and who Jesus says I am. So there's not a lot of pressure, but there is some. I'd like to be able to come. I don't want to come in here and not be able to win for 5 or 6 years, you know, and then have to turn it over. So we'll see what happens. Like I said, I think we got a good group coming back and a good group to move forward with, and we'll just have to keep building them and see what happens.
Well, and that's the thing about coaches. Coaches are all there because, you know, a big part of it is because they're competitive people. You know, we all are. And so when you go through a couple of, you know, losing phase, a couple of seasons where you struggle, obviously you want to get it back on track. And, you know, I think that you hit on a good point there. You know, you kind of are, in my mind, a little wise beyond your years, because when I first started coaching, I was younger than what you are now. I think I started at 19 as a varsity assistant. And that first stretch, Coach, I had a really hard time dealing with the losing. The first stretch, I think we went, you know, won 6 games in a losing season. That was my first year at that level. And I had a really hard time of putting that in a compartment, so to speak, compartmentalizing that, and moving on to do other things in my life. I let that losing carry over to everything. So I think you're on something there, and I think that's a very poised approach to have. At your age especially.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, it makes me think of I remember seeing a tweet from Clive Clarkson on Twitter. Clive won, I think, his 500th game this year or something. And his son had said, I just hope nobody asks me how many games I've lost. I was like, like, if you've been coaching as long as Clive has, I'm sure that you probably don't want people asking you how many you've lost. So,
speaking of Clive Clark, his guy, South Central Calhoun, taking on Iowa Falls Alden tonight. I know you have a little perspective with South Central Calhoun, having coached against them twice. And as I understand, you've got some ties to the Iowa Falls program as well with that. So give me a little take on tonight, what you expect.
Yeah, no, I'm playing against South Central a couple times a year. You get a good look at them. And I haven't seen Iowa Falls play in person, but like you said, I do know the head coach there. So he and I have talked. And you know, from what I've been able to gather and see and hear from Iowa Falls, you know, it sounds like they've got good guard play, you know, and that is a Shar kid.
Yeah, Sharar, something like that. It's been really putting it in the bucket.
Yeah, I think he had like 23 against Dyke New Hartford in their game on whatever night that was this week, Tuesday or Thursday. And so, yeah, you know, their guard play, I think, is pretty good. Height-wise, that might be one of the big factors tonight for them against South Central is how do you handle Dietrich.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of kids that are that tall, and he's a decent ball player, too, so good around the hoop. So I think guard-wise, Iowa Falls and South Central will be a good matchup because there's going to be some good guard play tonight. South Central's got Brennan Holder, Cole Corey, Twan Sanders. You know, they got a good group of guards there that, like Iowa Falls, aren't afraid to get a little physical with you, but can also play. So I think if Iowa Falls can neutralize Dietrich in the inside play and be able to hit some shots against that zone of South Central, I think it could be a really good game. But if they're struggling from the outside and can't neutralize the height factor, we'll see. You know, South Central could get the win.
To me, there's two things that kind of point toward an advantage for South Central Calhoun. You mentioned the inside game, which Josh Dietrich may be the most improved player from last year to this year in this region.
Yep.
He's had a great year, really stepped into it there. But to me, there's two real keys here. South Central Calhoun, you look at them up and down that lineup, they have offensive balance. They have three guys that are in double figures. You mentioned them, Dietrich, Brennan Holder, and Cole Corey. And then you've got other guys that here lately, like Eli Wheelock and Joe Clark, who I think is Clive's youngest son, I believe so.
I could be wrong.
Okay, I could be wrong about that, too. If we are, we apologize. But regardless of that, he has stepped in and given them some extra offense, too. So they've got a lot of balance, whereas Iowa Falls Alden is a little bit more based on what Sharar does, and he has to have a good game for you to compete. Now, he's played lights out lately. Mm-hmm. They've played well. You beat Dyke New Hartford. That's doing something because they were number one in the bracket. But given the balance, I like the balance kind of as a contrast to more of a one-player-heavy offense. And they've got some other guys that do some things offensively, too. But Sharar is really – they're going to win and lose. They're going to ride and die with Sharar. And the other thing for me is that Iowa Falls Alden comes in. Now, and they could – I mean, they could shoot tonight 50% from three, but they come in on the season 26%. So the tail of trends there tells me that them seeing that zone defense and the South Central Calhoun zone is not your traditional zone where you just sit around and wait on people to bring it to you either.
No. South Central zone is tough. They'll at times pressure you. They'll take the two guys, and it really is almost turns into like a 2-2-1 press back to a 2-3 kind. If you watch them set up, if they really want to pressure you, that's kind of how they'll set up. So it's really going to come down to if Iowa Falls can attack the pressure from South Central, and if they can attack that zone and get some people looks at the hoop, if you can make South Central come out of the zone, I think Iowa Falls Alden has a pretty good chance. You know, if you can get them playing man-to-man, because that's not something that South Central tends to do a lot.
Right.
Now, Clyde doesn't tend to come out of that a lot. I think South Central did against Roland Story, listening and hearing that game. So I think they did for a little bit. But, yeah, like you said, it's going to come down to can Iowa Falls Alden hit some shots. And if they can, you know, I think of Iowa Falls, you know, I think they're ranked lower in the bracket than what South Central was. So for them, there's not much pressure. And I don't know if, you know, I'm sure Clive will have his guys ready to go. But, you know, if Iowa Falls Alden, you got nothing to lose tonight.
Right.
I mean, you just went in and beat Dyke New Hartford, who I think was ranked number 4 in the state.
Yeah, and nobody expects
you to
them.
Yeah, nobody expects you to do it. So you've got that momentum of being that underdog. And sometimes that can carry into a game, and who knows, like you said, if kids come in and start shooting lights out, you know, everybody has a game every now and then like that, and we know that from experience over at Manson. It seems like kids always seem to have a good game sometimes against us, you know.
Yeah.
You know, kids get some looks in a zone, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think you're right there, too, about attacking the gaps in the zone. If you could do that, I think you can have success. But that's a lot easier said than done. They don't really allow that a lot of times. You know, for South Central Calhoun, too, they were here last year at the sub-state finals. They lost to West Sioux, Hunter Deckers, and that crew.
Yep.
Of course, Hunter Deckers is on a football scholarship at Iowa State now. But, you know, with that, I think that that's a little extra motivation, and I think playing in a game of this magnitude also gives you a little bit of an advantage there because you kind of know what to expect.
Yeah, you know, if you're South Central, you're coming in going, all right, guys, we've been here before. This isn't new. You know, last year we were here, and I think that gives you a little bit of a motivation for redemption. Like, hey, you know, we were here last year, and I thought they had a team that could have gone up there. And, you know, with Hunter Decker, and I think Bryce Kopic was on that team, too, at West Sioux from Newell Fonda. So, you know, I think that redemption, that motivation to want to get to that next level, and having that experience playing in a game could also be the deciding factor for South Central, you know.
Yeah, and it's kind of, you know, with them this year, they took on a little bit more of a by-committee balance approach as last year. You know, Zane Newbaum is such a great player. He was kind of the centerpiece of the offense, and everything worked off of him. And he didn't play particularly well against West Sioux. You know, I think he had like 12 points, but he was averaging 20-something. So,
yep.
You know, it was one of those deals where I kind of see a mirror image in what Iowa Falls does.
Yep.
To what South Central Calhoun was from a personnel standpoint last year. So I think it's a very interesting game. We're going to have the game for you tonight on our sibling station, 105.9 The Beach. That's a 7 p.m. tip-off for South Central Calhoun and Iowa Falls Alden tonight. Brian Peters, along with Brady Dix, will bring you that game tonight, and that's available on 105.9 The Beach and yourfortdodge.com at 7 p.m. tonight. Winner's going to go to state. Coach Caleb Lubin is my guest here. Coach, we'll wrap things up a little bit here. Again, I know it's one season where you didn't quite get in the W column as much as you wanted to, but I think you've got some pieces to build around. You kind of mentioned that, and I know you feel pretty good going forward that there's some potential. There's work to be done, but I think that you feel like there's some potential to scratch one out next year, and hopefully, you know, it's been a few years since the Cougar program has had a winning season. Do you feel like that's something you can achieve going forward with this group next year?
I do. It's just going to come down to, again, as I've told the guys and I've told you, if we got to do the work. You know, you got to do the work in the off season. The day will come when November asks what you did during March. You know, what did you do during the off season? And, you know, if you don't put in the work during the off season and you don't put in the meaningful, you know, tough work to get better and to refine your skills, then we're going to struggle again. But I think we got a good group of guys that want to put in the work. You know, just from our postseason meetings, I've had a lot of good talks with kids from our juniors down about really doing the work to make ourselves better and be in a good position next year. I think we can. I think we'll have the kids to do it. It's just going to be a matter of what do we do in the off season, and do we come ready to play in games, and do we execute?
Yeah, and I think you're right. You know, you brought up something there about doing the work, and a friend of mine that we coached AAU together used to say that failures in an empty gym in the summer lead to successes in a packed gym in the winter.
100%.
That's the exact same philosophy and kind of thought there going forward. Coach Caleb Lubin's been my guest here on the program from Manson Northwest Webster Boys Basketball. Coach, I appreciate your commitment throughout the season. You've been here when I know it would have been easier to sleep in, you know, but you were here. We appreciate that, and we wish you, of course, the best of luck going forward with next season. We'll reset things, and when next season rolls around, Lord willing, we'll be here doing the same thing, and we'll have you back.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me on. I always enjoy coming out and talking basketball with you. And,
you enjoy that breakfast, too.
Yeah,
let's not leave that
definitely.
Out. I see your breakfast over there.
Yeah.
We're talking about that. It looks pretty good.
Yeah.
So we appreciate Hy-Vee for that. Coach, have a great weekend, and best of luck moving forward.
Thanks. You too, Rob.